We're starting a new series this morning entitled Life is a Beat. And what we're getting at is you cannot change your life until you change your pattern. That a beat is simply a pattern. And if you look at any area of your life that you are experiencing frustration, there is a pattern behind that frustration. There's a pattern behind that production. There's a pattern behind that process. Also, you can look at any area of your life that you would deem successful, that you would deem as growing, that you would deem as thriving, and there is a pattern that you are doing that is causing that production. It's not the big one-time events in our life that shape and form our life. It is our day-in and day-out patterns that make us what we are, that determine the quality of our finances, the quality of our health, the quality of our marriage, the quality of our relationship with our children. In all of those areas, we have patterns, and those patterns are making and breaking us. Now, the goal of this series is to help you see new patterns that you can bring into your life, which will give you a different result. Every message is kind of targeted to kind of help you see a new pattern that you could use financially, or a new pattern you could use in your relationships, a new pattern you could use in your marriage, a new pattern you could use in your faith, that if you would instill this pattern, by the end of the year, you would see a new result, a new production. Where you could look back at the end of this year and say, this was the best year I have ever had in the history of all of my years. How many of you would like to say that? By the end of this year, it was just the best year I've ever had. Now, in order for that to happen, I know I want that. I want that for me, but I also want that for you. In order for that to happen, we are going to have to establish new patterns. The pattern is the problem. The pattern is the problem. In your life, if there's any problem, there is a pattern behind that problem. But on the flip side of that, the potential is also found in the pattern. Your potential is found in your patterns. If you can get better patterns, you can cure your problems and unleash your potential. To show us this principle, we're going to look at Daniel. I want to encourage you to open up your Bibles with me to the book of Daniel chapter 6. If you don't know where Daniel is, it's on page 1256 in my Bible, if that helps you in the slightest. Of course, feel free to use your concordance. We've got a lot of people who have never gone to church before here at Word of Life, and so they're already digging in the front part of their Bible to find out where in the world Daniel is. You are not alone. We would rather you be in Daniel than fake it and be in Matthew and act like you're reading with us. So take your time and find Daniel chapter 6. In Daniel, we're going to see the life of a man who is experiencing dramatic results in his life. Or you could say it this way, his life is producing what we would like for all of our lives to produce. He's producing the will of God, the plan of God. He's seeing promotion. He's seeing his life make progress. And it is because in Daniel's life, he has a pattern that is enabling his production. And Daniel chapter 6 and verse 1, we're going to see some neat things here. We're going to read all the way to verse number 10. We'll start in verse 1. It said, it seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 leaders over the kingdom, that they would be in charge of the whole thing. And over them he took three leaders, of whom Daniel was one, that these leaders might be accountable to them, and that the king might not suffer loss. Then this Daniel began, I love this, to distinguish himself among the leaders and the satraps, because he possessed an excellent and extraordinary spirit. I love how the Bible kind of highlights that. You could underline that, you could write that in your Bible, and look at how Daniel began to distinguish himself. Now, this is not Daniel distinguishing himself just against a random person. These are the 120 best and brightest minds in the entire kingdom. And this kingdom is going all the way from Greece, almost all the way over to India. Darius had a very powerful kingdom. And with this 120 people he took and made them rulers over this to help him govern it. And Daniel is distinguishing himself among these people because there is an excellent or an extraordinary spirit about Daniel. Now notice, because of this, the Bible tells us at the end of verse 3 that the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Then the other leaders began trying to find ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Then these men said, "We will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God." Then these commissioners and leaders came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows: "King Darius, live forever. All the commissioners of the kingdom and the prefects and the satraps and the high officials and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. Now, O king, establish the injunction, sign the document, so that we might not be changed, so that might not be changed according to the law of the Medes of the Persians." Verse 9, "Therefore, King Darius signed the document," that is the injunction. "Now, when Daniel," this is our key verse, "when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered into his house, now in his roof chamber. He had windows open towards Jerusalem, and he continued," that's a key word, "kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before the Lord his God, as he had been doing previously." Very interesting. Here we see a guy in Daniel who's experiencing extraordinary results in his life. So much so that the king is looking at Daniel and saying, "You know what? He ought to have my job. In fact, I know I've made him one of the three who's governing the 120, and the 120 is governing the land. But I think I'm just going to take Daniel and put him over the three and let Daniel just run the whole thing." The king sees Daniel's production and says, "I'd like that to be over the whole kingdom." So it's not just God being good to Daniel. It is Daniel's employer saying, "You ought to have my job. You ought to be running this thing." Because Daniel had a life that was producing. Now the issue in this story is there were 120 other men who wanted what Daniel had. They looked at Daniel's life and said, "I'd like to have that in my life." They look at what Daniel was producing and say, "I'd like to produce that in my life." They looked at what Daniel was having and said, "You know what? I'd like to have that in my life." Have you ever done that before? Have you ever looked at someone else's life and said, "I wish their life was like kind of like my life," or "I wish there was something in their life that I had in mine"? Maybe you looked at their health, their fitness, their washboard abs or muscles, and there's a part of you that said, "I'd like to have that in my life." Or maybe you looked at their finances, or on Instagram you saw where they went on vacation, or the position that they have at work, or the ministry that they have, and its exposure to the world, or whatever it may be. You look at someone else's life, and there's a part of you that wishes you had what they had. Now, sometimes this can be very positive. Sometimes this can lead to inspiration, where deep calls unto deep. That you get around someone else's life who may be greater in that area than your life is now, and it makes you be inspired to have that in your life, and it makes you willing to pay a price in order to have that. It makes you modify your pattern so that you can produce the same result. That can be a very positive thing. Unfortunately, that very seldom ever happens. Most people don't allow other people to inspire them. Most people fall over into envy, jealousy, and comparison. And we talked about that 2 years ago, how comparison often leads to sin, that there is no win in comparison. And in these guys' life, what they're doing is they're seeing what Daniel has in his life and saying, "Man, I would like to have that in mine. I'd like that attention. I'd like that wealth. I'd like that position. I'd like to have that." But instead of seeing that Daniel has particular patterns in his life that is enabling him to produce what he is producing, they believe it to be just a matter of luck, just a matter of chance, that Daniel is just lucky. And if we could get Daniel out of the way and put ourselves in Daniel's position, we could produce exactly what Daniel is producing. They think it's just Daniel being lucky, being fortunate, having a good relationship with Darius. They don't see that Daniel has patterns that is driving this production. They make a faulty decision thinking that if they could just put themselves in Daniel's shoes, they could produce exactly what Daniel is able to produce. They miss an important point, and it's my next screen if you can put it up on there. If I got your life but kept my patterns, in only a matter of time, my new life would look exactly like my old one. They thought if I could just have Daniel's life, I could produce exactly what Daniel is able to produce. But the reality is, if they got Daniel's life but kept their old patterns, their life would look exactly like their old life in just a matter of time. Now, you know this to be true. You know it in your heart. You know it to be true. An example of this we'll use physically just because that's an easy one to compare it to and something a lot of us are focused on right now in this season of time. Say you saw someone's health and you just said, man, if I could just have a body like theirs, a waist size like theirs, or abs once again like theirs, I want to wash clothes on my abs. I mean, if I could just have that. And all of a sudden, say God came to you and granted you that request, like all poof. I mean, you looked in the mirror and you were in perfect physical condition. I mean, just a perfect physical specimen. You had their production. Now imagine you looked in the mirror and you saw that, but immediately you kept your same old patterns of Snickers, Doritos, Big Macs, a large fry, a Diet Coke. That's always funny when people order that. I want a fry, Big Mac, and a Diet Coke. Like, just go ahead and get the Coke, man. But with this, if I got a new life but kept my same patterns, what's going to happen to my new life? It's going to look exactly like my old one, maybe not overnight, but in a matter of time, it will always revert back. You study statistics on people who win the lottery and how fast they go bankrupt. Why? They got a new life, but they kept the same spending habits, and those habits produce the same result every single time. What the people in Daniel failed to realize was this. On the screens, they envied his product when all they had to do was copy his pattern. If you can imitate their pattern, you can copy their product no matter who they are. You can imitate their pattern, you can copy their product no matter who they are. The pattern is the thing that is producing the product. It would be a worthy study of you to start this new year off to study the first six chapters in Daniel and say, what was Daniel's pattern that was producing his product? What made him have an excellent or an extraordinary spirit? That would be a fascinating study for you to do if you so chose to. But one thing we see in Daniel's life is Daniel had a particular habit where Daniel was constantly seeking the Lord. It seemed like around breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Daniel would find himself over in the presence of God, offering up prayer, offering up worship, offering up thanks. He had a consistent pattern of seeking the Lord. If you're here and you're making a New Year's resolution to put God first, I think that is an awesome pattern to get into. Making church a priority, maybe it's making devotion a priority. That was something Daniel did in his life, and you see it produced results for him. But what I want you to see in that scripture is that even once outside circumstances said, you can't do this anymore, Daniel refused to believe that story. Your life is a direct result of the story you keep telling yourself. And if you keep telling yourself the wrong story, you'll never alter your patterns. Or I could never do that because I don't have an education. Well, if that's the story you tell yourself, you'll never be able to do it. Well, I just don't have enough time to work out. If that's your story, you'll never go beyond the story you tell yourself. Well, no one could be this organized or be that organized if they had five kids. If that's the story you tell yourself, you'll believe yourself even more than you believe God. Your story has to match God's story. And when your story matches God's story, it's amazing how far your life can go. Now, it's my job as a pastor to tell you God's story and to help you get patterns that can help you fulfill that story. Now, here's the thing. I think all of you know this to be true, that I can't change my life until I change my patterns. Many of you have been exactly where you are right now, 5 years ago, a year ago, where you're setting New Year's resolutions, start of a brand new year, and you're looking out and saying, what do I want to achieve in 2016? That's just hard to even say, 2016. I'm still writing 2015. I'm having to make that five into a six. I mean, just. But with this, it's 2016, and I know many of you are looking at this year and asking, what do I want to achieve? What do I want to do? If God was to make this year the greatest year of my life, what would that look like? What would I experience financially, physically, in my marriage, in my relationships? I pray all of you are writing things like that down. But here's the thing. Who you want to be is more important than what you want to achieve. Because the reality is that when you're who you want to be, what you want to achieve becomes a whole lot easier. And we know that in our heart. And that's why it's not just lose 20 pounds, but it's I'll work out every day, or I'll stop eating sugar, or I'll save more money, or I'll cut up the credit card, or I'll take a Dave Ramsey class. We know that in order to fulfill any goal, be it marital, financial, health, we know there's a pattern behind the product. And until we alter that pattern, we'll never change the product. All of us know that inherently to be true. The issue is, I know I've experienced this before, I'm sure you have too, is that you make a firm decision to start a pattern and to stop doing things, and you find yourself making progress for a while, but 3 months later, you find yourself exactly where you were or worse. That a year goes by and it's like, man, I made no progress with that. I didn't make any progress in my health. I didn't make any progress in my relationships. My marriage looks exactly like it looked before. Maybe it's even a little worse. And you look at these types of situations and you wonder, what in the world is wrong with me? Why do I keep doing the things that I don't want to do? And why can't I do the things I know I need to? Now, I've studied this a lot because part of my job as a pastor is to help you change, and I know that with this, none of us can change without altering our habits, altering our patterns. And last year, I did a big study on the power of habits. In fact, there's a book called that called The Power of Habit. But I did this study on the power of habits, how to shape them, make them, change them, all of those types of things. And I found out something in research that I already knew according to the Word of God. And here's what I found out. My next screen. It's not about stopping. It's about starting. The secret to change is to focus all your energy not on fighting the old, but building the new. In your life, it's not about stopping. It's about starting. And if you will take all of your energy and use it to build the new versus just getting rid of the old, you'll begin to see change take place in your life. Why is this? Next screen. It's a spiritual principle. If you try to kick something bad out and don't replace it with something good, the bad comes back stronger than ever. If you try to kick something bad out of your life and don't replace it with something good, the bad thing comes back stronger than ever. The more study I did on habits, I found out something that I thought was very interesting. You never stop a habit. You never stop a habit. You only replace a habit. If you stop smoking, you didn't just stop smoking, you replaced that habit with something else. Maybe it was sugar, maybe it was TV, maybe it was something. But as soon as you stop something, some of you may be doing a Daniel fast or something like that now where you're going to make a decision, well, stop doing this, eating that, whatever it may be. As soon as you decide to stop doing, your mind begins to race. And the reason why it's racing is it's sitting there after church watching TV and your mind is saying, you should be having Doritos in your lap right now. And your mind is saying, something is wrong, something is wrong. It immediately looks and starts to search for something. And that's why if you don't replace a habit with a habit, then you will never see the thing you want to stop doing be fully stopped. It's not about starting, it's about our stopping. It's about starting and replacing. Now, we know this because Jesus taught this, not just scientists. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 43, when an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and finding none. Now watch this, verse 45, or verse 44. Then he saith, I will return into the house when I came. And when he has come, he finds it, keyword, empty. When the unclean spirit comes back, you kicked it out. It comes back. If it comes back and finds something empty, meaning you kicked it out, but you didn't start anything, you didn't replace it with anything, it's swept and garnished. Notice what the unclean spirit does in verse 45. He goes out and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there so that the last state of the man is worse than the first. Have you ever felt that way? Man, I'm worse now than I was when I started. And I tried to kick this out, but why is it that I'm kicking this out? But it just seems like 3 months later, I'm worse than when I started. It's a spiritual principle. It's not just getting the old out, it's bringing the new in. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, you'll never be changed until you renew your mind, that you are transformed by the renewal of your mind. Emphasis on new. You can't just take the old out, you have to bring the new in. And if you'll bring the new in, it will help the old get out. A couple of years ago, I was starting a workout program, and I had a personal trainer, and you're doing all these things like flipping tires and sprinting for 30 seconds, and then after the sprint, jumping down and doing 20 burpees, and all of these types of things, tug-of-wars and pulling golf carts with ropes, and all these just crazy things. And I really enjoyed it. I've seen a lot of results, but I came to the trainer, and I told him, I said, look, after these workouts, I feel like I'm eating any calories back after I worked out. I'm so voraciously hungry that, I'm just wanting to eat the whole kitchen, and it's everything I can do to just not eat. And I just said, I need to stop eating. How can I stop eating? And he emphasized this point to me. He said, Joel, it's not about stopping something, it's about starting something. He said, you need to understand that when you're working out, you're not just losing energy, you're also losing a lot of water, that there's a lot of sweat, there's a lot of perspiration, and your body is looking to replenish what it lost. He said, Joel, you're not hungry, you're thirsty. Replace the food with water. He said, drink as much water as you possibly can, and it will help you stop eating as much as you want to eat. You're not hungry, you're thirsty. It's not about stopping eating. It's about starting to drink. Drink water. Start drinking water. Start to drink water. So with this, in my life, I made that alteration, and I saw that when I started drinking more water, it helped me stop eating as much food after I worked out. Now, that's a simple point, but that's the point I'm trying to make to you, is that if you will start doing the right things, it will help you stop doing the wrong things. There's a bad habit in your life. Don't just focus on getting the old thing out. Focus on getting a new thing in. Habits run a lot like a disc on a CD. Any of you have CDs, or you can remember your CD player and those types of things? My favorite CD single. You remember CD singles that you go and you buy the CD single, and you didn't want to buy the whole album, so you just buy the single, and it had the song you want on it, and then like two or three other songs you didn't care anything about, but they were trying to lure you into buying the rest of the CD. Well, my favorite CD single growing up, and don't judge me, I'm a new person, I'm a pastor now, but my favorite CD single growing up was Coolio's Gangster's Paradise. I mean, that was my jam. That was my jam, living in a gangster's paradise. I mean, that was me. So with this, in here, that was me. And so with this, the power and the money and the power, minute after minute, hour after hour. I mean, I still got that cycle in my mind. But with this, my parents obviously didn't recommend me listening to things like that, so I constantly had to change the location of the CD to make sure it didn't get caught. Now, if you're familiar with CDs, you know you better be careful with that CD, because with that CD, if it gets a scratch on it, what's going to happen to the CD? It's going to mess it up. So with that, I never will forget when my Coolio single got scratched, and I put it in the CD player, and it got stuck, and it was just a terrible day for me then. I realized I'm going to have to buy a new one. What happened? A new pattern got introduced, and that new pattern went crossways of the old pattern, and I wanted it to play, but it couldn't play what I wanted it to play, not because the pattern was lost. The pattern was replaced. A new pattern was introduced. In all of our lives, yours and mine, this is how we change. If you're trying to get something old out, you have to replace it with something new. Now, what we're going to do in the rest of this series is to give you new patterns, new things you can do that can replace old things. If you do these new things, you'll see your life looks completely different. It'll help you get the old out, but more importantly, it'll establish a new pattern that makes you stronger, better than you've ever been in your life. What I want to accomplish in this message is simply do what I just told you, give you an illustrated sermon and kind of give you some ideas on patterns and things like that. But how I want to close it with is simply this. In your life, I know you all of us, including myself, want to get better. We want to change. We want to see progress. We want to see our lives distinguished like Daniel's. We want to be people of an extraordinary and excellent spirit. And what I want to close this message with is you're going to have to take some time, step back, and ask yourself, what patterns do I need to start in this new year in order to be who I need to be? Years ago, when I first started pastoring, I started pastoring when I was 19 years old, full-time, started preaching when I was 18, started pastoring when I was 19. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt I was called to pastor this church. I knew I was called to ministry, and I won't go into all the details on how I knew that, but I knew it. In the fabric of my being, I was called to be doing exactly what I'm doing right now. The issue was I was doing it, but I was incredibly bad at it. I was not producing any results. Well, I shouldn't say I wasn't producing any results. I was producing terrible results, just very negative results, and everything in my life was not working. Now, for those of you who may not know it, my father was the pastor of this church before I was. And so the whole time I'm experiencing this, I'm comparing his life to my life. I'm looking at what he was producing and wondering, why am I not able to produce that? I started doubting my calling. I started doubting my anointing. I started doubting my ability. I started doubting all of these things. And one day I was in his old office, which was my new office, and I sat down in a big leather chair that was looking at the desk, and there was a desk and then bookshelves behind the desk, and I'm sitting in this big leather chair, and I still have the chair today. It's probably my most favorite possession. You know, they ask you that question, if your house caught on fire, what would you go in and get? I'd be lugging out this chair. I mean, it means the world to me. It's where my father prayed. It's where he wrote messages, all of those types of things. So with that, I'm sitting in this chair, and I'm looking at the desk and the bookshelves in front of me. And the whole time I'm looking, I'm talking to God about how frustrated I am with life. And my key frustration is I'm doing exactly what they did in Daniel chapter 6. I'm comparing my results to my father's results and saying, I know we share the same calling. Where in the world are the same results? I have his position. I have literally his old life. I'm living in the same house he lived in. I have the same office he had. I literally have his life, but I am not producing anything like his life produced. I'm sitting here and I'm telling God all of this, and I look up and have this epiphany, just this moment where suddenly I realize something that I had not seen previously before, although it was staring in my face. And what I looked at was all of these books on this bookshelf. All of these books. I saw all of these Bibles that my father had to keep buying Bibles because the Bibles he had were constantly worn out. I remember hardly ever seeing my father without a book in his hand in the house. I remember how I used to open up those books and I'd look at them even as a boy and see a book in the book, a book that he was writing and notes he was taking on the book he was reading. I opened up the closet and saw shoeboxes, just Nike shoeboxes that were stacked up there. And instead of shoes being in there were message notes that he hand wrote each and every message, and each one was like an art form. And it dawned on me. Up to that point, my method of preparation for a sermon was basically take a couple of notes, listen to some other preachers, and try to preach their sermon. Just going to count on the anointing of God when I get up there. Reach the people. Preach the word, brother. And so with that, I realized something very interesting in that moment, that I'm wanting his production, but I'm not wanting his pattern. I want what he was able to experience, but I'm not willing to pay the price to do what he did to experience what he experienced. So I made a decision on that day that changed my life forever. I didn't know anything of what I'm teaching you now. It was just something it just dawned on me in that moment. I need to do this. And I made a decision. I'm going to read every book on these shelves by the end of the year. Now, I found out something when I did that. that I'm introducing a new habit, but guess what it did? It kicked out an old one. After that point, there was a lot of TV watching, a lot of video games, all of those types of things. I'm 18, 19 years old. And by reading all of those books, you know what I found? Within a matter of months, I'd gotten rid of every TV, everything in my house, but that desk, those books, and a bed. I ate off of that desk. I prayed off of that desk. I read off of that desk until every single one of those books was read. That established in me a pattern that has changed the course of my life forever. Literally, the biggest issue we have in our marriage, me and my wife, is there's too many books around our house. I have the bad pattern of leaving them everywhere, on the kitchen counter, on the bathroom counter, literally everywhere. And my wife is in a pattern of keeping a very clean house. And so our patterns are clashing, and mine's the one that really needs to give. So help me replace that pattern. You can hold me accountable. It changed my life. I realized if I want to produce what he's producing, it's simply a matter of changing the pattern to his pattern. That was one epiphany I had. Let me give you the next one. I got 2 minutes. I can do this. Remember sitting in a doctor's office a couple of years ago, about 55 pounds heavier than I am this morning. And they're checking my blood pressure and heart rate and running blood tests. I do a year in physical every year and just kind of see where I'm at physically. And I'd really let things get out of hand and those types of things. And I've always had good blood pressure. I mean, it's always under 120 over 70. My resting heart rate is generally between 54 and 74 beats. I mean, I've always had that. Even when I was in much worse shape than I am today, I've always had that. It's just been the grace of God. And with that, I'm sitting here in the doctor's office, and the doctor's running all these tests, and he looks at the numbers, and they're perfect. And he comes to me and says, "Man, you must have good genes." And he wasn't talking about genes. He's talking about, you know, genes. Good heritage. And I realized at that moment that it wasn't my patterns for sure, and it definitely wasn't my genes, because both my father and my uncle died halfway in their race. And it wasn't because God wanted them to, and it wasn't because God was not a healer. And it wasn't because God's healing is not for today. And it wasn't because God wanted it to happen. It was because of bad patterns. And I realized in that moment that for most of us, we learn our patterns from our parents, that our patterns are passed down. And that's why it's important for you to be a good parent, because whatever patterns you have, you're passing on to little Johnny, little Susie, or whatever your kid's name is. They are learning your patterns. They are learning by your example. They are going to model their life after your life, whether you want it to happen or not. That's why one of the best things you can do for your children is to change the patterns of the generations before you and say, the buck stops here. I'm not passing that on to my son. I'm not passing that on to my daughter. It stops with me. It stops right here. I'm sitting in this office and I'm realizing I'm expecting God to keep me healthy, to keep me strong, to give me a different outcome than the outcome of my father. But I cannot expect to produce something different in my life if I keep copying the patterns he had in his. Pick it up and ask him, why aren't you here at Word of Life? Why aren't you should be here in this message? You should be here in this message. So I made a decision on that day. It's helped change me a little bit. I'm looking for it to change me even more. I think I'll see the results of it when I get to do what my father failed to be able to do. See my children graduate. Walk my daughter down an aisle. See my children preach if God's called them to. See them achieve. Patterns are everything. And I want to encourage you in your life to have one of those moments, like those two I just shared right now, and to step back in your life and say, if I want to achieve this production, what patterns am I going to need to start in order to be who I know God has called me to be. Amen. It's been an honor preaching to you this morning. Let's pray. Father, I come before you. I thank you for these amazing people and the opportunity to share your word with them. Before you leave this morning, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I know we have a bunch of people here. I know we have some people here this morning who are very close to God. I also probably know that in this room there's some people this morning who feel like you're very far from God because of your sin or your mistakes or any of those types of things. I know every single person in this room has been exactly where you may be, had moments in their life where they felt that. Maybe it's because you've never accepted Jesus, or maybe it's because you know Jesus, but you've walked away from him, maybe because of what something said or someone else did, or because of how church wounded you when you were younger, or any of these types of things. But I believe you're not here by accident this morning. I believe God's got a plan to give you a hope and a future. And the thing that I know is that you cannot do that without him. You have to come to him. And that's what this moment in the service is all about. Every head is bowed right now. Every eye is closed. No one's looking around. In this service, I'm not going to make eyes be on you. I'm not going to make you walk an aisle. We do that sometimes. Won't do it today. So none of those things will happen. But one thing I want to happen is for you to make a decision. And sometimes a decision means to step out and be bold. The decision I want to ask you to make this morning is real simple. If you say, that's me, Pastor Joel, I know I'm far from God. I know I need his presence in my life. I know I just need him. The decision I'm asking you to make is one that's real simple in the eyes of the Lord. I want you to lift your hand right now. That's you. Just lift up your hand. No one's looking. I'm not going to make anyone look at you. Just lift your hand. Keep it up. All over this place. Hands going up all over the room. If you think you're alone, you're not. There's people all around you making the same decision you're making. Thank you, Father. Everyone in this room, pray this prayer with me, whether your hand went up or not. Repeat after me if you choose to. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe you sent Jesus to die for me. I believe not only did he die, but on the third day, he rose again from the grave. Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my Savior. I'm forgiven, so I forgive myself. And I say boldly, this is going to be the greatest year I have ever had. In Jesus' name, amen.